this is Larry in London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings. Today, we have something special for people who love music, especially jazz fans, because we have one of the greats who's in jazz music, has been in music for long enough to be releasing his 18th album now. We welcome to the Voice of America, Boney James. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
I've heard the name Boney James for years and years. Where did Boney come from? I know that's not your real name. It's Jimmy, but where did Bones or Boney come from?
You know, back in 1986, it was my second professional gig, I think, as a professional musician. And I was touring with I started out as a sideman backing up other artists. I was touring with a great singer named Randy Crawford, who was famous from Street Life and the Crusaders. And she was very popular in Scandinavia at the time, Norway, and we were spending a lot of time over there, and everything costs a fortune. So I said to the cats in the band, oh, man, I just won't eat for the next couple of days. And they said, oh, you'll get all skinny. We'll have to start calling you Boney James or something. And I said, please don't call me Boney James. And that's how you get a nickname.
That's it. Not wanting it. That's the curse. Now you got it. You're Boney James around the world. Of course, you've sold millions and millions of records. You've been on the top of the charts, nominated for, I believe it is 4 Grammys. You got Soul Train Awards. You got all kinds of things in your collection of accolades. And you started off as a clarinet player.
Yes.
who transferred over to sax. What was it about the sax that drew you to the sax from the clarinet?
You know, really, it was the band teacher needed a sax player. He had so many clarinets, and I think I was maybe the best one, and he thought it'd be easiest for me to switch. So he really just kind of leaned on me. I resisted at first because it was a much heavier case I was going to have to carry to and from school. But the stage band from the junior high school came to visit us somewhere around that same time. And they had an electric guitar and live drum set and electric bass. And he explained to me that if I played the saxophone, when I got to junior high, I could be in the stage band. So that's what swayed me, I think.
I need you to clarify something. Is it saxophonist or saxophonist? I've heard both used.
Saxophonist sounds great when you say it, but I say saxophonist.
And by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, coming up. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Anything special for the birthday this year?
It'll be just nice to be in the same town as my wife. We've both been spending a lot of time on the road working, so I'm looking forward to, although I think I am playing a show right around then too. So the last few birthdays in a row, I've been out there just working, which is of course my favorite thing to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. And when you first started, as you mentioned before, that you were playing, you know, in a band, and you've performed along with Al Jarreau, George Benson, I've got quite a list, Morris Day, the Isley Brothers. You've collaborated with so many people in your career. But yet when you do the sax on your own, it's a very different stage, different show. And do you have a preference? Would you like to? I know the new album Detour, you have Lala Hathaway on it. But, you know, tell me about your feeling when you get on stage, with or without an accompanying artist.
Well, you know, I mean, I've been really concentrating on just my solo thing for 30 years now, but I do get to collaborate with singers. Every now and then I will write a song that needs to have a vocal collaboration. That's really how it happens. And at that point, I'll reach out to a singer that I admire. Lala Hathaway is on the new record, as you mentioned. And I've had some really blessed experiences just having these famous, wonderful singers lend their talents to my record. And then hopefully, you know, we get to go out and do it live together every now and then. But most of the time I'm trying to write for the saxophone. And like I said, every now and then I feel like this one doesn't work just for me. Maybe I'll have a singer do it. And luckily, some of those have been hits on the R&B side.
Do you have a favorite collaboration over your career that you can tell us about? A story, interesting story behind the scenes?
It's hard to pick favorites for me. You know, I mean, especially after doing it so long, I mean, it was 18 records, the songs really add up. So they all do sort of feel like my children. And like I said, you know, when people on the level that I've been able to work with agree to work with me, and they even know who I am, it's really just always kind of a kick.
Mm. And the last album that you put out was 3 years ago. It was a number one album. So tell me how, you know, the new album Detour differs from the previous album.
Well, the last record was called Solid, and that was, you know, a record that came out during the pandemic. It actually had to be postponed because it was supposed to be released a month right after everything shut down, and the records couldn't get to out of the warehouse. You know, it was that crazy. You know, I call it this new record Detour because to me it did sound a little different, and I thought it was a little bit of a musical detour. Just as I was listening to it, I thought, oh, that's fresh, that's new. And then I realized that the whole planet's been on this detour for the last couple of years. And so that's where the title came from. My records, it's very hard for me to be objective about what's different between them. It's much easier, I think, for other people to listen to my music and be you know, talk about it that way. To me, they all sound like me, but hopefully each one has melodies and themes and songs and feelings that are unique to themselves.
Mm-hmm. And so as someone who's put out 18 albums, you would have to get inspiration from a variety of different sources. I'd be curious to know what's the most interesting experience or occurrence that inspired a song for you.
You know, songs are very mysterious. I don't know that I can ever really point to anything in particular and say that's what sparked that idea. Luckily, I still just get ideas for music. My head is full of music almost all the time. And my job is really to sort of identify these thoughts as an original idea. And then, you know, I've got this little memo recorder that I kind of keep with me all the time, old school. And I just sing. I sing mm-hmm. these little shreds into my recorder. And then there's the process of sort of going back and forcing myself to think, is that a song? And doing the hard work of turning it into an actual song and then an arrangement and then a produced CD. And that's kind of the process for me. But in terms of the actual inspiration, I can never point to anything particular and say that's what it was.
We've got Boney James with us here on The Voice of America. His newest album is called Detour. And if you wouldn't mind doing a song for us, we'd love to hear, you know, you play some sax.
I'd love to. The first song I'm going to play is the first single off the record. It's featuring a wonderful trumpet player named Dante Winslow, who I heard playing with Kamasi Washington's band. I saw him on YouTube and I thought, oh, who's that guy? And I asked him to come over and play this solo. And this one's kind of old school, so I called it Bring It Back.
Bring It Back. Boney James here on Border Crossings. Thank you. Border Crossings, and that's Boney James with Bring It Back, which is on the new album Detour. How many songs are on your new album?
It's 10 new songs, all original songs. So very, very proud of this new record.
And you've even got a song on there inspired by your father. Well, my father passed away. I'm very sorry, by the way. Condolences.
Yeah. My father passed away in October of 21. And as always, you know, I didn't set out to write this song as a remembrance, but just as I was listening to it back, it just really filled me with images of him. So the word tribute popped into my head, and that's just the feeling I get from this one. You know, for me, when I'm naming a song, it's really all about trying to connect with the feeling that I'm getting and then find some poetic way to communicate that to the audience.
Have you ever performed, you know, internationally? I'm sure you've performed on many international stages. And then, you know, you get a chance to get inspired by your experiences internationally. You've written songs about your experiences overseas and around the world?
Well, you know, I've written some songs that remind me of places overseas. I wrote a song on my very first record called Kyoto. There's a song called Trinidad. You know, I get images of places. There's a song on the new record called Memphis, not international. But as I said, you know, it's always after the fact. The song just comes. It's just music. But music makes you feel things. So I have to decide, what is it that I'm feeling from this song, and how can I communicate that in the title?
Where are some of your favorite places to play internationally? Because we're broadcasting to 100 countries, and I know that your favorites are all your favorites, but if you had to say, wow, Japan, inspired by a song, Kyoto.
Japan is awesome. I mean, I've been to Korea. I actually played on some basses in Korea, which was really fun. You know, golly, Montreux Jazz Festival was wonderful. Oh, yeah. Beautiful there in Switzerland. UK, of course, is wonderful. But, you know, most of the gigs I play are in the States. That's sort of where the core of my fan base is still over here. I think that the people have an opportunity to hear me on the radio here more than they do overseas. But anywhere I get to play my horn with my band is my favorite place.
We're talking with Boney James, and the new album is Detour, number 18. What's been the highlight for you in your career?
Oh, gosh. You know, I mean, I'm always just pinching myself that I'm just doing it at all. And to have a 30-year career now and all these records adding up. And as you said, the 4 Grammy nominations and the gold records. I mean, when I made my first record, I thought my mom was going to be the only one that would buy it. And that I'm still here doing it all these years later and at the level that I have to do it. And people are actually interested in my music and waiting for it to come out. It's a dream come true.
And there's been some great, you know, you're right up there with the greats. I was reading something about, you don't particularly feel comfortable being called an icon or a legend, but you are, and you know, you're right up there in the category with all of the greats who've been on saxophone for many, many years. And so it's a unique little club, and it's a great instrument. I mean, the sax, you can do so much with a sax, and it really, yes. You know, I enjoy that instrument.
Thank you. Me too. You know, I as soon as I picked it up, it became my favorite thing to do. And after all these years, I still really, really love it. It gets me up every day, and I'm excited to get at it.
Mm-hmm. And the new album was recorded in your home studio, or is that where you are right now?
This is where I'm sitting right now. I call it the backyard. I'm across the yard from my home, and it's just a little room that I've turned into a studio, and I did 90% of the record right here.
Wow. You mentioned COVID earlier because it came out when the last album Solid was out, but how has COVID impacted your life and what you do as a musician?
Well, of course, you know, the 17 or 18 months that we all had where we were, you know, there were no shows at all. That was very challenging. I did do about 30 Facebook Live concerts from my studio here, just to stay connected with the fans and keep busy. And that was a real good thing. But, you know, we're back out on the road now, and it seems like things are getting somewhat back to normal. I mean, trying to be careful and not get sick and mask up when appropriate. But luckily, people are coming out to shows, and I do notice a lot of gratitude from people just to be out and sort of having regular life.
Mm-hmm. And one of the benefits of having a 30-year career is you can have many generations of fans. You have the moms, the dads, the grandparents, the kids. You've got them all following you, quite loyal too, you know, and jazz music is, you know, it's a unique style of music, but it's for those that get it and enjoy it, it's a wonderful form of music, a wonderful art form. And I've always enjoyed jazz. And of course, Boney James is our guest. We're talking about Detour. Is this an international tour that you're planning to go on this as the year ends and we start 23?
Well, I know we're playing in the Dominican Republic and Mexico. Those are the only two international shows we have booked right now. But, you know, hopefully next year more will come in and we'll be out there where everyone can see us.
Mm-hmm. And who would you like to collaborate with that you haven't yet collaborated with? Who's on your wish list?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there's so many artists that I admire, and it's a pretty long list of singers. But for me, it's always about trying to match the song that I'm working on with the singer and just take it from there. Of course, Stevie Wonder is my all-time favorite artist, so I'd still love to do a Stevie collaboration someday.
Mm, that would be great. So we're talking with Boney James, and we're going to ask if you do another song for us.
Hey, this is the title cut off the record, Detour. This one, when I finished writing it, it definitely gave me images of driving and movement. And that's kind of where the whole idea for the title of the record came. Title cut, Detour.
Detour. Here's Boney James on Border Crossings. Thank you. Border Crossings, and that is called Detour. It's the title track to album number 18 for Boney James, who is on our show today, and he joins us from his home studio, the garage. And so we're thrilled to have you on the show. It's quite an honor to talk to you. You've heard the name so many times over the years, Boney James, Boney James, and you have performed just about everywhere on the planet. And so international touring is in the plan for 23. If people want to come and see, where can they go online to find out more about your tour schedule and things like that?
Well, I guess BoneyJames.com is sort of the hub. All the links to everything else are there, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I try and keep it all, you know, keep all those balls in the air.
Mm-hmm. And who does Boney James get inspiration from? Who are you listening to?
I got to say, I don't listen to much music anymore. I think it's changed a little bit since I started making my own records and going out and performing my own music. My relationship with music changed, and I'm not such a consumer and listener as much as I used to. I mean, I will occasionally put on some music to relax, and it'll be like something that has nothing to do with my job. So it'll be like big band or swing, something from the 30s or 40s that'll just chill me out. Of course, when old school R&B comes on, I still do groove, but I rarely like put on a record and listen to it like a fan anymore. And that's an interesting thing that happened.
Mm. And if you weren't doing what you're doing, what would you be doing? If you weren't making music, what was Jimmy James destined to be before he found music at age 10?
Oh, golly. Well, you know, I mean, I think I might have been a lawyer or something. I did study history in college and thinking I would have a fallback in case the music thing didn't work out. But fortunately, you know, I never had to go down that road and perish the thought I should have to be doing anything else. I do love so much still.
Now, one thing I like to ask artists who've had the same success level as you is, where were you when you heard yourself on the radio for the first time? Do you remember that moment?
I remember it vividly. Yes, I was actually working on another song. I was at a collaborator's home studio, somewhat similar to this, and my first record, Trust, had come out, and we were taking a break, and the radio was on. It's like, hey, there's my song. The very first time I heard it was a thrill, and it's still a thrill. Still a thrill to hear the music on the radio.
Is there something that you haven't done that you want to do? Like, for example, score a film or something like that?
You know, my wife is actually a director, mainly television, but she did make a film, and I did score that for her. So that was interesting. I don't crave that job. I think I like my job better. I love performing, and the freedom of making a record is a lot nicer, I think, than to having to sort of subvert, you know, subsume the music under the film. Mm-hmm. But of course, if she needs me again, I'm there. You mentioned I've got the 4 Grammy nominations. I'm hoping to win one day. That would be nice. I've got a space in the studio for a statue.
You have space on the mantle.
Yeah.
Now, this business has changed quite a bit from when you started 30 years ago. Are you happy with the changes? Not happy with the changes? How has this impacted, I mean, all of this digital era that we're in now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of a roll with it kind of cat. So it is what it is. I mean, it's been turbulent. When I started, there was a record store in every corner, and it was very much the physical product. And now, of course, it's all, you know, very much about streaming and things like that. But I think that the labels are figuring out how to work it now, and people are still discovering music and still seem to be buying my record. So I'm just super grateful I'm getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. Lots of jazz fans around the world. I mean, how is jazz received in some of the other countries? You mentioned the Montreux Jazz Festival. I know that's a huge event, you know, and jazz here in the United States, some of the radio stations are kind of disappearing, you know, and so, but is jazz is still thriving out of the U.S. as well?
You know, I'm really not the expert. You know, I mean, I don't even really consider myself a traditional jazz artist. You know, I have such a healthy dose of R&B and Latin music, and my music is sort of eclectic sounding. And but I think people definitely still love instrumental music. I find it very evocative. I love being able to close my eyes and just to imagine things. And luckily there's an audience still for what I'm doing. So I'll just keep doing it.
And the sax is a sensual, romantic instrument.
That's
too
true. Yes.
Very, very romantic instrument. Boney James is our guest here, and we're broadcasting, as I mentioned, worldwide right now, and also included in our audience is the military who tune in around the world. So I didn't know if you wanted to send a shout out as we get ready to say goodbye, if there's any parting words you have for the military.
Oh, thank you all so much for your service. We really appreciate you and love you guys, and everyone be safe out there.
Well, thank you, Boney James, for being on the show today. It's a pleasure to meet you. And once again, your website where people can read up on you and catch up.
It's BoneyJames.com.
BoneyJames.com. Simple enough. Thank you, Boney James. I'm Larry London. You have been watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.